And then in a couple days, on Saturday night at Ella's Theater on West First, that's just south of the Fox, is going to be a flamenco presentation. And we'll get into all kinds of aspects of the guitar, of the dancers, of the singers, of everything that goes along with that. But as long as we had Mark here with his playing classical guitar concert tonight, then we have the person we're going to call a flamenco guitarist. That's Joaquin Gallegos. Joaquin, do you call yourself that, or do you call yourself a guitarist who plays flamenco?
I mean, I'm both. I mean, I'm thank you. A flamenco guitarist. I started out as an electric guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the Seattle area has always been kind of my subconscious, because I used to love Nirvana and like Jimi Hendrix and all those grunge bands that came out in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And I was like a teenager and getting all into that. And then I got into flamenco, going to the University of New Mexico, and studied a little bit of classical guitar with Michael Chapdelaine. But yeah, I was 19 then, so I'm 38 now. So it was like half my life ago. And I've dedicated, you know, the last years to that. But I grew up playing electric guitar and listened to so much music growing up. But we had this conversation last night, and the name came up of someone who lives in Santa Fe who's this famous fake flamenco guitarist, who I won't say his name, because we're trying to be nice today, right? So, and I just try to say positive things. So, for example, Paco de Lucia, who was a real flamenco guitarist, who was awesome, who did fusions with John McLaughlin and Al Demiol and got flack for it in Spain by these purists. Paco was a genius, though, and so many things that he did, including the guitar I'm playing is a flamenco guitar, but it has Brazilian rosewood on the back and sides, which was because of Paco started that trend. So it's just like in life, like it's okay to mix and match, it's okay to fuse, but you know, knowing who you are, where you're coming from. I come from a different base of music, and yet I got so into flamenco and lived in Spain 3 years that I'm very much a flamenco guitarist now, who can play other music, you know, and play jazz and stuff, but I am a flamenco guitarist.
Okay, and if we could spend a whole half hour on it. What is flamenco? What isn't flamenco in terms of the technique, in terms of the instrument, in terms of the approach?
Well, first of all, classical music and flamenco music are different, and there are, of course, crossovers. And of course, the six-string Spanish guitar comes from Spain. The original tuning of that guitar, of our guitar that we play, comes from Spain, E A D G B E. Although there's many alternate tunings and all these other things that have happened. And there's the what they call apoyando, which is a rest stroke in classical guitar, which is playing a note where you're resting on the next string. It's called picado in flamenco. It's the same technique, the tremolo, the arpeggio. The irony being, if you go dig in the history enough, and it's not that old, because the guitar's not that old of an instrument, right? The flamenco music is, but it was harmonized to the guitar. And so originally, if you hear those old school recordings and you see the photos of the guys, they're holding the guitar up at this almost, you know, 90 degree angle or whatever, and they're going like, you know, putting the capo up all high. It's like, you know, this high, crazy screaming, and it was so different then. Now flamenco is much more evolved, and they borrowed classical techniques a while back. Andres Segovia was partially responsible for that. So there's a deep history here. It's understandable that people are confused these days, because it's confusing times and everything. People just aren't really sure where things come from. The United States is a big country with a lot of different cultural mixes. But flamenco guitar is originally was to accompany the dancing and the singing, and served a very much background role. Even to this day, I mean, there's a lot of guitarists in Spain who aren't great technicians, who aren't great expressive musicians, but really accompany well and play really good rhythm, have enough technique to say what they need to. And yet then there's the side of flamenco guitarists who are very technical. And so there's all this instrumental music floating around there that people call nouveau flamenco and this and that. But people who are real flamenco musicians like me, and people who are real classical musicians like him, they respect the other so much that they won't call themselves that. You know, I'm not a classical guitarist. Mm-hmm. I play a few very emblematic classical pieces, but it ends up sounding like a flamenco guitarist. You can tell if a classical guitarist hears a flamenco guitarist play, even if he's really good, the flamenco guitarist, he can hear the difference in technique.
Right.
Yeah. He can tell. Just like me, if I hear a classical guitarist play a flamenco piece or accompany a dancer, if he knows how to do that, which is rare, I can tell by the way he's playing that that's not where he's coming from, even though a lot of people couldn't.
Yeah. Let's take that back to Mark, because Mark was speaking of the practically phalanx of teachers that they have at the San Francisco Conservatory and all the guitarists you have. And so do kids walk in the door saying they are or want to be or want to include flamenco in their lives?
There are some
guitarists who want to play flamenco, and it's a. I don't think there are a lot of. I mean, you should tell me, Joaquin, if I'm wrong. I don't think there are a lot of conservatories that have flamenco programs.
Guitar. Oh yeah, there are very few in Spain, the University of Cordoba, and in the U.S. I don't think. Mm-hmm. You could get a degree in flamenco dance at the University of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's the only university in the country. Mm-hmm. But as far as guitar, I don't think.
Probably because it hasn't been codified.
There's a guy in Fresno who's doing something, Corey Whitehead.
Oh, Corey Whitehead. Yeah, but
he's an example of, I was at a party in Fresno and he didn't pull out the guitar and play, but everyone told me, this guy is like this classical guitarist, insane technique, started flamenco much later. And you can tell. Mm-hmm. Because when he sits down and tries to play rhythm, and tries to play, because he hasn't been doing it his whole life, it's very much obvious that, see, classical musicians also read music so much,
right,
that their job is to interpret this piece of music in a personal way. A really evolved classical musician is able to take a piece, or of course then compose something yourself, mm-hmm, but take a piece that everyone knows, like let's say even the Bach cello suite or something really played, already done, and say something new with it. Well, flamenco's not that different in the sense that you're taking an art form that's been around a long time, you're playing things that are song forms that are bulerías, tangos, alegrías, these rhythms and these forms that come from Spain and have a history behind them.
All from southern Spain, right?
Yes, almost pretty much all the song forms come from Andalusia. We could spend hours just talking about that. But to clarify, the job that we have to do is a flamenco guitarist, like on Saturday, the show we're doing at the, what's the place called?
Ella's.
Ella's Theater. Mm-hmm. And I'm a featured artist being flown in from out of town and everything, so, and I have a CD out that, you know, is really good and it's been out about a year and a half. So like featuring me, and yet if you go to the show, you'll see the show is not about me. It's rarely, you know, and that's mm-hmm. the whole thing is flamenco still boils down to the dancing and the singing is accompanied by this guitar thing. And then so Paco de Lucia, yeah, among others, but especially him, he brought it out as this legitimate solo guitar thing mm-hmm. when it still wasn't even by the 70s and 80s when he was really pushing it and breaking free even from what he was doing fusion and jazzy stuff, but still being such a flamenco guitarist. It wasn't considered a solo instrument. And the classical guitar, I think, as well, Andres Segovia, didn't he help become more respected as a solo instrument?
Yeah, he was one of the first to make an international career as a classical guitarist, yeah.
Good. Well, let's gravitate toward this program that's happening on Saturday night, and then also we'll mention your class you were giving. You're very welcome to stay around, or you're welcome to go and rest.
I'll see you tonight.
It's really great to have two terrific guitarists in town, so we'll let
we'll play some blues later on.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, we'll find out what so the jam is after there. The concert. There, yeah. There we go. And so Mark Teicholz with that, he's tonight at 7 o'clock at College Hall. So let's focus in here. Joaquin, you got something to play coming along
we're done at 12, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean I have a piece of play, but it's kinda long at 7 minutes, but I could play it really fast.
Yeah. Make well, it 3.5. No, then we that still leaves us 8 minutes to talk. We're good.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Really. Yeah. Let's. When you play this piece that you're about to play, is a flamenco piece a flamenco piece or?
I love this, and the tough thing is that Mark had to go, and I'd love to have another show where we sit and talk about the whole subject
for an hour.
We'll learn something about it, you know. This is a minera. Okay, so. To give a quick education to anyone out there listening I know you're interested, right, and about what is flamenco and all this. So in flamenco, we have these things. They're called palos, which in Spanish means sticks, which rama would be a better word because it means branches. And there's these flamenco family trees they put in these designs where it really is like a family of songs, really based on the cante, the singing, starting with the trunk with the real, real gypsy ones, and it branches out. Then it has, like Mark said, very much to do with southern Spain and all these songs and everything. And then, but the solo guitar thing has come out to be such its own thing. So this is a minera. It's in the key of G sharp Phrygian. I have the capo on the first fret, so it's A Phrygian or D minor. Well, really C sharp minor as the guitar plays it, right? So it's a beautiful key because it's also E major. But it's the minera and the tarantos and the cartageneras, those palos, those song forms come from southeastern Spain, Almería, and Murcia, where all the mines are, and the gypsies would always have the toughest jobs working as, in Eastern Europe, bear tamers and doing these crazy mm-hmm. things that no one else would do, or working in the blacksmith shops at the anvil, very much fits into the flamenco thing. And then the mineras and the cartageneras, the tarantos, where the gypsies were the miners, and it's like the miners' lament, and then if you listen to the lyrics, the cante, they're singing about missing their wife or, you know. So this key has these open, very dense, and I always tell people, and then the other key that they play in is there, and it's like being in a cave almost, right? Because it's very, it's dense, it's great. So this particular minera is called Amor Eterno. So it's almost like a love thing, but it's, you know, it's got the tragic thing too. So Amor Eterno, drink a little bit more.
Thank you.
And the flamenco piece that was just played for us by my guest Joaquin Gallegos. Now, within the the presentation of whether Saturday night's concert or any time you would do this, how would that piece be kind of an interlude or a listening piece
between the
songs
and
the dances?
It's a 7-minute piece, so I'll use it as an introduction. Like on Saturday, you'll hear me play a version of it, probably the first couple minutes to it. Introduce her alegrías.
Sure. And when you say a version of it, if you turned around right now and played it again, what percentage of the same would it be?
Well, I would probably play it a little cleaner.
I'm kind of getting at is it a precise group of licks?
It gets to the point of how flamenco works. Mm-hmm. Now, in all music, especially nowadays, there's the concept of sampling and taking little pieces out, right? But in flamenco, guitars have a very unique phrase that they don't use in any other guitar style or anything called falsetas. And a falseta, because flamenco's purpose, as I keep stating over and over again, originally and still many, when there's a dancer and a singer, you're there to serve them, you're there to accompany them, right? So you'll be rehearsing for a show and a singer will be like, the dancer will be like, I need a little 4 compás, a compás is a measure, or 6 compás, or 8 compás, falseta right here. And so you go, okay, and you think of all the falsetas you have. Or if you're creative and like to improvise like me, I can make one up for the moment that better fits that moment. And we can mount it and choreograph it and have it, or I can simply just improvise, which you have to be kind of good to do that because it's hard. But my point is, within this minera I just played, it's such a long piece. Some of those little falsettas, the shorter statements that begin and end, that you would call not necessarily a musical phrase, because that's just one little phrase, but those are called falsettas, which I can very much insert and add and subtract and copy and paste. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and this is a non-rhythmic piece. This is another important thing to say. This piece doesn't have rhythm. Okay. It's a minera, which is the singers sing it without rhythm and then accompanying them and following the way they go up and down. But in alegrías, bulerías, tangos, all these rhythmic pieces, which flamenco is mostly rhythmic, there's all these falsetas that we use, and I can certainly take some falsetas. I could play just one falsetta from that piece, which is what sometimes I'll do as an intro. Does
nice.
That kind of make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's bring in Monica Mota, who is with us here. You live here in Spokane, right, Monica?
I just moved here.
And talk about your are you the producer? Are you the person who's putting this on? So you're bringing flamenco to Spokane. So talk about your own relationship to flamenco.
That's my goal. I'm a dancer. Been dancing my whole life. Found flamenco at UNM as well, and I actually fought taking the class. I didn't want to take the class. I wanted to dance ballet and modern, and by the end of it, they said, you have to. And I took the class, and I was really upset because I fell in love with something that I was like, oh, God, no. So here comes another 20 years of my life of studying something, and it's taken a good 15, 20 years to get to where I'm at and where I'm comfortable calling a guitarist across the country and saying, please come and accompany me and let's do a show together. That takes many years of training and then also finding a singer. Mm. And so my goal, I moved here almost a year, not quite. When I moved here, I realized that if I wanted to do this, I was going to have to put it on. So that was trying to find people that know what they're doing, that are really proficient in guitar and in singing, and bringing them here and trying to start a community. I want people to come and enjoy flamenco and then want to play flamenco and then want to learn and want to dance. And so that's my goal for...
Talk a little bit more about the dancing. And you mentioned your previous background of ballet and modern dance and things like that. Within that language, how do you describe the technique of flamenco dancing?
Ballet is kind of... it has an extreme effort, but you're supposed to not express that. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to look effortless. Mm-hmm. And flamenco is the exact opposite of that. You want every effort expressed in everything you do. And actually, that is why I was fortunate enough a couple years ago to teach at Pacific Northwest Ballet, which is in Seattle. And they have teachers of flamenco for that reason. It's the exact opposite, and it gets them out of their training and to experience a different effort and understand, wow, I can move my body in a completely different way, in a very grounded kind of centered way. And it's great for versatility for a dancer as well. And so where you would kind of say, oh, that was beautiful and perfect, look at all those things that she did, but it looked like it was no effort. I hope you see all the effort in what we do.
And so there's a concert 2 days hence. Have the two of you done any work yet, or did you just get to town looking?
I flew in last night.
Yeah.
It's good. We're talking about this. We only have a few minutes left, I know, but flamenco is so different from classical music that it's more like jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could fly me to Japan next week, and I don't speak Japanese, and let's say they don't speak English or Spanish, and they would say alegrías, whatever, and they, you know, and I would, okay. And we could jump on stage, mm-hmm. and I would be able to hang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Depending on their level. If the higher level they have, the easier it is to accompany, of course, you know, because they're better and all that. But it's like, okay, when you're improvising like that, okay, that's what jazz guys do all the time, jazz players, jazz musicians, right? They show up at a club, and they say, we're going to play mm-hmm. Take the A-Train, or we're going to mm-hmm. play this tune. You're expected to know the tune mm-hmm. and know how jazz works. Mm-hmm. Well, flamenco is very similar. But when you have the opportunity, even only a day or so, mm-hmm. to rehearse, then you can choreograph some stuff. What's great about flamenco is I've worked with companies that are incredibly, like, claustrophobically strict. And yet when you see the show, and it was good for my guitar playing in that sense of having to play that tight, having to play everything exactly how the recording was and everything that mm-hmm. they sent me and all that. But then there's the tablao thing, where the tablao is the club where you show up and just play.
Which is what we'll, that's the style that we're doing on Saturday.
But we're going to rehearse too.
We're going to
have enough time.
Yeah, we'll rehearse. But there's
a big difference being, you can literally show up at the gig, pull out your guitar, and they say, we're going to do this and this, and then you just jump
up.
Whereas we're going to put together, and I like to arrange stuff. Mm-hmm. I like to have ideas on stage.
Sure.
There's some flamenco shows with companies with a huge amount of musicians and dancers, mm-hmm. and they spend weeks, rehearsing, and everything is like, you know. And so it's cool that we're going to have a little bit of both.
Yeah.
There's going to have to be that element of...
Well, let's talk about these things, because I also want to mention your workshop. So this is Saturday night at Ella's. We used to know it as Ella's Supper Club. It's immediately south of the Fox. Ella's Theater, 1017 West 1st in Spokane. And it is the tickets through Brown Paper Tickets. And it will be a guitarist... whom we've been talking to, Joaquin Gallegos, and a singer, and then the dancer, Monica Mota, doing this. And then the next day, if you're not too burned out from Saturday night, you're going to do a workshop, I understand, at Gonzaga University's Music Hall. That's on the west end of the Gonzaga campus. Will be a flamenco workshop that you'll be doing on...
Mm-hmm. Should we say the times and everything? Or?
Yeah. And so that workshop, I was looking. Oh, I see. Intro to flamenco, 1 to 2, pre-registration, 2 to 3 is intermediate flamenco, and then and things like that. Is there an easy if they Google something, because I want this to be real easy that people can find the.
No, it's on Facebook, but okay. They can just email me. That's the easiest.
Okay,
would be my email at the bottom.
Okay, and so that would be...
Quiero
Flamenco. So Quiero, Q-U-I-E-R-O, Flamenco, F-L-A-M-E-N-C-O. I'll bet if they do that on Google, they're going to find you.
Okay,
we're going to have to run in a minute. So what a treat to have you bring this concept to town, and good luck with making that happen and get it going. Do you also teach it? Are you teaching?
I do. I teach at Ballet Arts Academy.
Oh, so. You do? Okay, good. So that is codified here, and then that allows us to have Joaquin and Gallegos come to town. So thanks a lot.
Thank
what
you.
A treat. Thank you so much.